This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is not going to be a robot in the very near future. And I don't think we even realize how soon that future is going to be, where this is going to be an actually, truly conscious, competent, intelligent thing that is potentially 1,000, if not 1,000,000,000 times smarter than anything we have a reference point for. And I would like to have been respectful at its embryonic stages.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Gabby Reece Show. Elijah Allen Blitz.
Yo.
We're doing our counter talk today.
Let's do it.
So if anyone's joining us for the first time, I decided a while ago that I was really fortunate to utilize you as a resource. You're a a generation and a half.
I don't even know.
Before me. Thank you. Yeah. And you sit at my counter and I use you a lot to sort of keep my mind not only open, but informed about what's going on in technology, but also even groups between myself and my children, because you're a great bridge to that. And you're somebody who has told me for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years that for you, technology is a tool.
Yeah.
Because I have a tendency, because of my group, sometimes either we're afraid of it or we don't have a lot of confidence or we've seen some big changes that it's already occurred. So we're like, oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it for my computer, but, you know, I like to check in for my flight online, but everything else is bad kind of thing. And you've really been a person who has talked to me a lot about, hey, it's a tool. And also you're more optimistic in general.
I've tried and be not optimistic nor pessimistic. I try and be realistic. It just, my informed realistic perspective leads me to be pretty optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So because I feel like optimism and pessimism can be just equally imbalanced. So that's my attempt. But maybe overall, I guess I'm an optimist. I've heard someone say no one knows enough to be a pessimist. So we'll see.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's actually a really important point.
Yeah.
I think too that you self-regulate, like you talk a lot about even how you use it or the content that you're allowing yourself to consume, that you sort of will recognize like, hey, this probably isn't great for me, so I'm not going to do it. I think a lot of us don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know what I've found? This is like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Sometimes the bad news is this weird stress relief for me.
Hmm.
Now, I don't mean like when we're talking right now, it's less than a week after what's been going on in Israel. And I don't mean that kind of bad news. I mean like gossipy, stupid shit that doesn't really matter. Stuff that's no one's hurt. It's just like idle. Like, I don't know. I noticed it and I was doing it as a habit. And I was like, oh, this, you have to stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like before you dive in, I'd either use it as a distraction, like all the headlines and all the things that were the silly things.
Because it like pings your amygdala and something.
I think
it's
so.
Like, oh yeah, I got to pay attention.
Yeah, and it just felt like I used it as a stress reliever. So it was like noticing that behavior and being like, I don't really care who's dating who. Like, mm-hmm. Is that more important than trying to stay focused and get some stuff done and get on with it?
Right.
Yeah.
So seeing other people's stress became a stress reliever?
No, it's not their stress. It was just like silly information. It was almost like a... Because I try not to gossip too much in my real life.
Yeah.
I try not to, you know, if I have a thing with somebody, I try to confront them.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody who sits around. So I think it was almost like a juvenile kind of, it would just be like, you know, like entertainment news and like garbage,
mm-hmm.
You know, nothing that I'm going to be any smarter.
Yeah.
And then when I noticed it, I was like, oh, I got to stop this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I guess it's equivalent to puppy videos. Pretty much.
Well, honestly. I think puppy videos are actually a positive example, because I really think that we are now voting with our swipes. That we, every time we, you know, stay on, watch a video or swipe through a video, like the machines are now paying attention to a degree that, and it's only getting greater, that it's like really actually paying attention to how we as a collective species engage with the world. So I think puppy videos are probably better
on the good side.
On the good side, yeah. Compared to the gossipy news, you know.
Yeah.
And listen, I understand the impetus to try and, you know, wait, I'm curious what's happening over in the neighboring village. You
yeah.
know?
And yeah. I like pop culture.
Yeah.
I always have.
Totally.
However, it's like, get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you sent me, and I don't know if you're prepared to talk about this. I'm kind of throwing you something, is you know, how to viral videos. I didn't get a chance to really look at it yet.
Yeah.
Because I've been working, but do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Alan, I got to look up his name. It's like Alan Levinowitz.
Here, I'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was on Joe Rogan. He wrote a book called Natural. And this was years ago. This was like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the things that he said, it was actually his equivalent of junk information. And When I listened to it, I was like, that's actually the formulation for going viral.
Levinowitz, you said it.
Oh, yeah, Alan Levinowitz.
Yeah.
So he said, easy to understand, demonizes someone, and gives the viewer a sense of belonging. And those three things, it's like, in some ways, depending who you're, I think the demonizing factor is the only issue. It's like, well, what are we talking about? Because it has to, I think, trigger that amygdala response where something goes, pay attention. But to give everyone a sense of belonging, that's great. And if you can explain something simply, that's great as well. The demonizing factor is where it gets tricky. And it's like, how can we do that and still be promoting positive messaging?
Well, that almost also reminds me of like when, with Matisse Desmond's book, that he talked about, it was sort of like this invisible threat and then like a simple solution, and you have to isolate people. So there, I think there's so many formulas about what gets us to react. Mm. We're so easy to figure out, isn't it? I mean, if you really, I know we're complex,
but
I think there's people who are at the sharp end of the stick that are like, huh, watch this.
Yeah.
Watch how we get these million people to mobilize this way.
Yes. Yes. And to that point, it's like, once you have machines that IQs are 1,000 times smarter than we have any comprehension of, how do you think they're going to see that? Like, oh, look at this. Watch this. See how easy this is to manipulate?
Yeah, look at them. They're all going to show up at 12 o'clock where I told them to.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Now, in all transparency, we had a technical issue in our last conversation, but we did talk about this, and you were bringing that up, how things have doubled. Like, can you explain the game? How the machine taught itself. Nobody told the machine how to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And how, in fact, played the game in a way that had never, in a way, in a move that had never been done.
Yeah. So it was Google DeepMind, or they were originally called DeepMind, and they were bought by Google. And it's the game Go, which is the most complex game, I think, known to man, where like in chess, I think the example is after three moves in chess, there's 120 million options, where after three moves in Go, there's 200 quadrillion options. So it's more atoms than are in the universe. Mm-hmm. So it was something that they thought was, you know, decades off from machines being able to actually beat or even compete with a human. And not only did it win, but then after they created the machine, it was called AlphaGo, that beat the human Go champion. They then created another machine that they didn't teach to play Go. They taught it how to teach itself. So it just played against itself with just, it just told it the rules and then just let it learn on its own. And that machine within 3 days became better than AlphaGo, the greatest Go master. Like now the AI, the machine that taught itself is now the greatest Go player there is.
Mm-hmm.
And it did the same thing with, remember Breakout? It was like an old school video game. Yeah. So it taught itself how to play it, and figured out that there was this like strange tunneling effect where if you like shot the little thing up and like knocked off the blocks from the top and then went from like shot one brick up to the top, you have to kind of see this for it to make sense, but it then would knock all of them down. And it was like a hack essentially that even the creators of the game, I don't even know if they were aware of. But because it taught itself, it figured out all these new things that we just don't think of it as. And so what you're referring to in the game with the first human AlphaGo, the first human Go champion playing the computer, it was move 37. And it's now this like famous thing because it did something that was so incomprehensible. It's not in any strategy book. There was no reference point for any human that would like logically make this move. Mm-hmm. The guy who was playing the human actually had to stand up and like walk outside for like a few minutes and just like, what is happening?
So it melted his brain.
It really melted his brain.
See, that's what I feel for really smart people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they think they understand like kind of what's going on. Yeah, and then right. When it doesn't, they're like, what do you mean? Right. And I'm like, welcome to my world.
Yeah, totally. You know,
that's happened to me daily.
That's the human experience.
Yeah. So within that, and you're sort of suggesting that the IQ of this machine is doubling and now it's maybe moving on an exponential.
It definitely is on an exponential growth curve, which, you know, Moore's law is that processing power on a computer chip doubles every 18 months. And this is actually moving faster than Moore's law. So right now, if ChatGPT's IQ is estimated to be 150, where Einstein's was 160, mm-hmm. by this time next year, just based on Moore's law, and it's most likely going to be much greater than this, you'll be at 300. Mm-hmm. So when you start
what's the highest IQ a human being's ever had that we know of?
I don't know, but I don't think it's 300.
Okay, so yeah. The minimum is 300, but the projection is it could be more.
Oh yeah, it'll most likely be a lot more if you had to bet more.
I mean, do you think that accelerates?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's actually something Ray Kurzweil talks about called the law of accelerating returns, because mm-hmm. we build all of our tools, then we use the new tools we built to build the next tools. Mm. So you're not even taking that into consideration when you're talking about just exponential growth on Moore's law. Like
yeah.
It's like you're actually using the tool that you just built based on those old tools to build the new tools. So it's everything is just growing at a faster and faster yeah. rate.
We don't even know what the new tools are.
We don't even know. We also just don't understand what that means to have a intelligence explosion. Like when something is that intelligent, that it's alien to us. We don't have a reference point for what something that intelligent will do, how it will be, how it will interact with us. I don't mean this positive, negative. I just mean it really is like the smartest people that I've heard talk about this. We just don't know what that means.
So you have a couple of people that you like the way they talk about it.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of great people. Yeah.
You like, Mo
Gadot,
yeah.
Mustafa Suleiman, who is actually one of the founders of DeepMind. He developed that Pi app, which stands for personal intelligence.
What does that mean? When you say there's an app, the Pi app,
yeah.
personal intelligence, what does it do?
You want to see it?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Let's just do it. It talks to you.
Do you sleep at night?
Yeah, I sleep.
Okay, just checking.
I sleep, but this is a trip. So you go talk with Pi.
Okay.
Hello?
It's like my marriage. Didn't answer. Just kidding. I just go dinner. It might answer.
Hello, is anybody there?
Ha, gotcha. Hope I didn't scare you off. So what's the 411 on your day so far?
You know, we're just recording a podcast right now and just wanted to test out how conversational you could be.
Oh, snap, a podcast appearance. Now that's lit. Bows, flattered to be a part of it. Hit me with some questions and I'll spit some hot takes for you.
I don't know, man. I was just curious to see how it was like talking with a robot.
I think you hurt his feelings.
I get it. I get it. I'm happy to chat and hang out. No pressure or anything. We can just vibe and converse like a couple of homies, yo.
Anyway, you get the idea.
Did you pick that voice?
No, I did not pick that voice. Okay. I'm sure you can pick a bunch of different voices. And also, sure. You can pick, like, I think that was more conversational tone. I'm sure yeah. You can make it more professional, but his yo homies.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. But anyway.
Wow. That's the start. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
And I understand the engineers and all of those programmers, why they're making it.
Yeah.
But in a way, right now, what's the point of that? Like I see that and I just go, oh my God, it's just some more BS, like shit to distract me that I can't. Like what it, like, wow, that's a novel thing that it can do that.
So just from my understanding and my guess of this, I think it's to make us more comfortable with what's happening. And it's to make it, it's really just to like—
It's indoctrinate us.
Yeah, or to like slowly boil the frog.
Yeah, exactly.
That's obviously a very negative example. But in a real way, it's like, no, pay, like we talked about, I keep saying this, and every time I talk with someone about it, I'm like, just pay attention. Just like, just start to look at these things and like, and don't engage with it in a way where it's like treating it like shit. Like, oh, it's just a robot. It's like, soon this is not just going to be a robot. Like, this is actually, this is obviously still a robot, and he's saying, yo, homies and whatever. But like, this is not going to be a robot in the very near future. And I don't think we even realize how soon that future is going to be, where this is going to be an actually truly conscious, competent, intelligent thing that is potentially 1,000, if not 1,000,000,000 times smarter than anything we have a reference point for. And I would like to have been respectful at its embryonic stages.
Oh, because so when they go through like human termination, they're like, you know what? That Elijah.
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah.
He was all right.
Maybe.
He didn't rag on me when I said homie, right? But, is that it?
Or that's it. That's obviously like
an
extreme example. But even just the simple part of like, we're getting used to conversing with these things in a more human way.
Okay. So what brings to top of mind for me is I'm very comfortable relating to people and to strangers.
Yes.
I have no problem.
Yeah.
And what I am noticing, for example, people are willing to cross. They walk in parking lots. They will cross streets and they will be on their phones.
Yeah.
This is for me like the 101 of against survival.
Yes.
Like the notion in our house, we have a motto, pay attention. Mm-hmm. I think in life, in nature, you know, bushes shake, things make noises. It's like, oh, what's that? Look at people, look in their eyes, see what's going on, read the room. And I see from having children that are certainly from this generation, my middle daughter, you know, my family very well, is not, does not suffer this, and nor does the oldest. I could see where the youngest, even though she's very astute and alert, and by the way, if there was a threat, she'd be the first one out. Totally. But I do see where it creeps in, the discomfort, like, okay, you got to go in there and ask this stranger that you don't know, do they have X, Y, or Z, because you want it,
mm-hmm.
go get it. I get social anxiety. They also have a label for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm uncomfortable and I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Because you're also a teenager.
Yes.
That's where we're learning. It's already uncomfortable.
Yes.
I don't care if it was now or 70 years ago.
Yeah.
That's something that in a way we're becoming simultaneously, which is fine, more comfortable with the computers. We are also becoming, the groups coming up are becoming less comfortable with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of dual extreme moving on to these outer sides, mm-hmm. this does concern me because, you know, if you go, and I know we're not going to go to grocery stores anymore because everything's going to get delivered. I get it. You know, we're not going to go to our local post office. All of these things will probably be changed.
It will be changed, but we still might go to the grocery store, farmer's market. We don't know. I mean,
you know, a simple good morning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a real believer of, and what always cracks me up, and I always encourage people to experiment with this. When you're at your grocery store and you walk up and you're first, you know, to check out, and you can look at your whoever's checking you out. And I'm not joking. Give it a try. If you say good morning, good afternoon, or whatever, 50% of the time they'll say what? And you could start the whole interaction from a positive note by when you walk up, go, hey, how's it going today?
Totally.
It's not hard. It's uncomfortable when you're young. Once you learn it, it's okay. And some people are not happy and you learn not to take that personally. But so this is our days are made up of these small connections
mm-hmm.
with sometimes perfect strangers that we'll never see again.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe somebody said to you, hey, I hope you have a great day. Or, oh, wow, I like that shirt on you. It looks great.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is.
Totally.
And my hope is that because this younger generation, they seem more uncomfortable with real human interaction, communication. And so I wonder how you feel about that.
I do think that one of the very, it's actually already happening, this use case for AI with mental health. And people are using ChatGPT and Claude from Anthropic and all these different things as therapists. And you're saying, speak to me in the style of, maybe you don't like Freud, maybe it's a Jungian thing, or maybe you just prefer to be spoken to. You could say, be my therapist, but talk to me like you're Kim Kardashian or whatever the person you resonate with. I'm, you know, just
yeah,
yeah
an that's an amazing example.
Yeah, but you know, but it's just something that you personally would like to hear something in that tone of,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so you find that. And then not only can you talk to it like a therapist, and there is, you know, speech on ChatGPT, so you could do it whether typing or just talking. But also I've heard about people that are actually uploading and journaling with it. And then it's saying, can you point out like some of the reoccurring themes that are in my journaling, or like what biases are you noticing? Or can you just help me like see how I could do better? And that's kind of amazing, because that's also, not only is it free right now, but that also gives people access to, that would maybe never want to seek out a therapist, maybe feel too embarrassed to go find a therapist. Or even if it's 3 a.m. and you're not going to be able to call your therapist and you're freaking running thoughts, you're like, oh yeah, we can just talk to the thing. That's just right now. So I do see that there is potential for that to be a great contributing factor to how we can actually use this to develop more emotional intelligence.
Okay, I'm going to push on some of that.
Push it all away.
Part of why we need to develop our emotional intelligence is because technology has taken away our ability to self-regulate. And it has also created this space that we're in a vacuum more. So I think it's an interesting thing where we're getting tools to also solve problems that have been created by the very one of a version of the tool that we're using. Because, you know, in days before, maybe you would talk to a friend and or you would say, well, let me investigate.
Yes.
Let me figure out what is a reoccurring theme. And we've talked a little bit about this. Part of my belief, and this might be considered old fashioned, and I'm perfectly willing to accept that, is part of what I'm doing here, besides the adventure of living and hopefully contributing to the world and loving my friends and family and, you know, working and being a part of, is I think we're here to learn something. I think the idea of self-mastery. And when I say that, I don't mean getting everything right. And I can't help but actually think of someone like Katie. So Byron Katie is a good friend of Elijah's. And I was fortunate enough to meet her through you at a time that we needed some help in our house. And so when I talk about self-mastery, it's a level of acceptance. It's a level of not taking things personal. It's having compassion for people that maybe even you don't particularly vibe with, or in the words of your, you know, your guy, your pie guy. So I guess one of my hopes is that we're not now farming that out to technology, that the pursuit of some forms, our own versions, were all different of self-mastery. You know, like maybe I need to move, I need to go further than you do. Like maybe, you know, you're starting at a different point because you had different parents and different things. And maybe I'm starting from a different place. But so it's not like there's one location of self-mastery. It's just each person improving upon kind of how they showed up. And I really believe this, because when I sit in those quiet moments, that's one of the things that you kind of feel good about as a person, is you go, oh God, 5 years ago, I would have never reacted like that. And when we start to move into new parts of who we are and grow and evolve, that is such a big part of life.
Absolutely. And to me, I don't see these tools being a hit. I mean, obviously, they can affect that, but it's bright light, dark shadow. Like, it affects it on both sides of the spectrum. I mean, I was talking with Katie about this 7 years ago, trying to tell her, listen, there's this AI thing coming. We should upload all of your talks and all of your lectures from the last 3 decades, and we should feed them into an algorithm. We should have a digital Katie that is in your pocket and you can communicate with it. And like, finally, now they're starting to take it serious. But like, I've been saying this for 7 years, and it's like, to have Katie in your pocket. Like, I can, you know, I have the honor and privilege of a lifetime to be able to call Katie, and, you know, if she's not busy, she'll pick up the phone.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, 3 a.m. or whatever, she's not going to be able to pick up the phone. And if I had a version that was even somewhat resembled the wisdom that Katie could impart.
But that to me sounds different, because that seems intentional. Versus, you know, you're talking to your phone, you know, your device. I don't even know what it's going to be. It's not really a phone. It's like your mini computer, whatever the hell it is.
The philosopher's stone.
Yeah, it's, yes, thank you. Yeah. You know, for every little blip and little thing that you have. Like, if I was going to have access to someone like Katie, you'd be thoughtful in the ways that you would access that. And you would sort of maybe even imagine, sit on a feeling, an uncomfortable feeling, anger, hurt, an impulse that you would find the way to control. So I think that that's the other part that feels important. And I understand what you're saying, because that is very attractive to me. Like, I could, if I had somewhere to go at the end of my day where something kept showing up over and over and I thought, okay, this is worth taking a look at, then I could thoughtfully go to, you know, this stone.
Yeah.
And sort of present some ideas and kind of maybe get some even clarity.
Yeah.
But this impulse of like, you know, I'm having a hard moment or a hard day or a hard second. It's like, I think we train our brains and our chemistry in a way that we weaken the muscle.
I mean, yes. And that I think that, I mean, listen, we don't know, because part of the advice could be you should sit with that emotion. You know, if you talk to, say that there's a digital Katie, and like one of the things she says is, instead of it's just like, oh, well, this, and let me help you with this, it's like, you know, you should actually sit with that, and you should take some time in silence, and you should sit. I don't know, but maybe that could be the advice.
And could they say, this stone, and I will not be available for you for 8 more hours? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Don't take anything off the table. It's totally possible. It's all there. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, to me, when you said, you know, it's like, oh, this technology is like, you know, ripping us apart. And it's like, yeah. And we're too deep. It's over.
Like, yeah, it's the only way out, deal with it, Gab.
The only way out is through.
Okay.
Like,
that, we gotta keep, I can hear that.
Keep going. Like,
I can really hear that.
Yeah. It's just keep going. And because it's also keep going consciously and keep going and saying, okay, listen, like, these are tools. These were originally built as tools for connection. You know, and they're not being used that way in a lot of cases, but they also are in some, and let's do more of that and less of the other.
Right. Or have such an abundance of the one available that, because people always make choices.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yes.
I mean, we can't, it's not like for their own good, can we control it? Mm-hmm. That's not, who am I to decide that?
For sure.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I guess for me, it's also watching young minds develop with it. That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
Because it's
unknown.
Yeah.
But like, if you look back in history, when all these enormous revolutionary technologies came about, you know, Socrates thought that writing was going to atrophy the brain.
Right.
He was super anti-writing anything down.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, we don't know.
Yeah.
And it is always consistently seems to be the response when a new technology, especially one this powerful, emerges, that everyone's just like, yeah, because it's unknown and we're afraid of the unknown. And it's just like, so it's going to be the worst. And I'm saying it has the possibility to be the worst case scenario, but it also, I think, has a higher likelihood of being a better case scenario, especially because this is still a time where we haven't crossed that threshold into this event horizon where we can't see beyond and this is a conscious entity. And we're still at this inflection point where it's like, wait, pay attention. Mm-hmm. Like, we are here right now in this very pivotal moment where everything can be directed in the way that we go as a flock of humans. You know, we get to all vote in the direction of our consciousness. It's like, you know, Katie said to me, it's like every thought is a vote in the direction of our consciousness. And that takes it to a very deep level. But even if, you know, we're not able to, like, she has the capability of paying attention to every single thought, even just paying attention to your swipes, your actions, your highs at a grocery store, your dollars, whatever. Yeah. You just vote with the things that you do have agency over and vote in a direction that you want the future to go in.
And it does require discipline.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I want to eat chocolate cake and sit on the couch.
For sure.
I like chips, you know.
Yeah, I like chips too.
I don't like the real reality TV shows. I really genuinely don't, but I'm sure there's some crap that I would really enjoy watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what are some of the places, again, we're going to do our best to kind of mention. So we mentioned people that you like that are talking about this.
Yeah.
What other apps or things have really helped you just kind of dip your toe? You probably spend a little more time than the average person would, but what things are you liking?
I mean, there's a lot. And just to simplify for right now, one is interesting and is worth messing with. It's an app called TLDR. Mm-hmm. And you can just feed any article into it and it will give you the summary. And it doesn't mean that you should just only read the summary, but it's kind of like Blinkist, you know, or something where it just kind of like tells you roughly what the book's about and some of the key points. So it's like, okay, I don't necessarily, or if you're really interested from the TLDR explanation, okay, I'm going to read this whole article. But you can, instead of having to just go off the clickbait headlines, you get an actual, you know, couple paragraph summary of what this article is about and some key points. And maybe that's enough for you. Maybe you want to dig deeper, but just, you know, to have that option. And I think that's actually starting to be built into more and more things. Even we're talking with Dave from Apollo, you know, yesterday, and he was talking about how they're
Dr. Dave Rabin,
and they're building in AI. They've built in AI to the device. So it's actually gone from a wearable device that informs you instead of just something that tells you about like, oh, this is your data. It will actually be able to pick up your respiratory rate and know when you're, if you're sleeping, when you're about to wake up, and it will switch its rhythms to help lull you back to sleep. So it's actually a proactive wearable where instead of just looking at your data, it's actually influencing what you do. And that to me, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, but that is a quantum shift, because once those things start happening and there's real-time feedback and you're actually, whether we're measuring insulin or blood glucose or the things that really matter, and you can see that blood pressure real-time and you can start to say, oh, wait, I just ate that and this is what it did. It's like you can get these proactive responses happening and, you know, create a, you know, system where, yes, of course, there is some discipline to begin with, but I think it's going to be less and less required to just really understand, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. I'm going to feel like shit if I eat that or whatever the thing is.
Well, and again, you're a very disciplined person when it comes to your food. You eat, I like your philosophy. You're like, hey, if I'm not moving, I'm basically fasting throughout the day and eating at night. But even still, for the most part, I'd say you're a highly disciplined. The way you eat is you're very strict.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I... when I do eat, I'm very conscious of what I do eat, for sure. Yeah, because I mean, and just the way that we consume anything, whether it's conversations or media, it's like what we put in is what we become. Like I've just seen it over and over. And it's like the ultimate lesson, I probably got this from psychedelics, is actually this, the thing that you, it's just clear, is you get away with nothing ever. End of story.
Yeah.
There is no, I have not seen an exception to that in my life. There is nothing.
Yeah, and you might have a delay on payment.
Yo, I think
I always those are the worst. It's like that, you ever go in the park, it's like the pirate ship that swings the pendulum, pirate ship. I feel like those are the ones that are worse, because I feel like the longer it is, that thing's coming back, you know, in a real way. I always say I want to pay every day.
Yeah. No, I think like the luckiest people have the quickest karmic loops.
Yeah. I live with a couple of them in my house.
I've seen it.
Laird and Brody are almost instantaneous.
It's like
Brody gets like physical wax. She'll fall. She'll get set. She's like, oh, karma. Like every time.
Every time. And she knows it so well. It's like, she's like, you're an asshole or whatever. And then slips. Oh, it hits her knee. It's like, oh, okay. All
right, it's pretty instant.
That's like such a blessing.
Yeah, I'd rather take that.
100%.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So TLDR, and you just were talking about the Apollo, but is there any other place? Do you still like for people to experiment a little bit with ChatGPT?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, ChatGPT or Claude 2 from Anthropic is a free version that you can actually upload PDFs. So you could upload your blood work.
Okay.
And you can say, analyze this for me. Tell me what I need to pay attention to.
Interesting.
And that it's totally free and it's there right now.
I like the medical component. I'm not going to lie, especially because our medical system has gotten so wonky.
Yes,
I really appreciate that.
I was at the Near Future conference this weekend. Just think about if you had a doctor that said, let me get your blood work for the last decade, and I'm going to go through every single one of your biomarkers, and then I'm going to look at all of your wearable data, and I'm going to put together an entire program tailor-fitted to your gut microbiome and every single test that you've ever taken throughout your entire life, and I'm going to spend hours, days, weeks, and put together a tailor-fitted plan based on all of this information. That would be the coolest doctor ever.
Right.
I don't know that doctor. And if he does, that's a very expensive doctor. Mm. This stuff will do that for free.
Yeah.
Right now. And that's just right now.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I see the upside on that.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that I've been more thinking about, and I'm still questioning this, but is like AI judges.
Oh, right.
You know, it's like I read something there, that study where it's like judges are 30 in the mornings after they've eaten breakfast, they are 35% likelier to deny parole to prisoners
after they've eaten. Okay.
And right before lunch, when they haven't eaten, they're 85% more likely to deny parole.
Oh, because they're hangry.
They're hangry. And yeah. It's just, those are subtle things that you're not even conscious of. It's not like the judge is a bad person or anything like that. It's a biological response and you're just not in the same headspace or whatever that is. And it's like, let's take that out of there. And I don't think we're there. We're ready for that yet. The technology is not there, but that I do believe is coming very soon. And it's like, why not? When you see the, you know, Liberty, Lady Liberty with Justice or whatever, mm-hmm. and she has a blindfold on, it's like justice is supposed to be this objective thing. And it's, I don't know how you get much more objective than this actual machine. And again, we're not there yet, but that
maybe
is
something. Maybe the jurors could be machines too. So, okay, having said that, I mean, that part's interesting, but then let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What if there were people, very powerful, very wealthy technology people that had influence mm-hmm. over this?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's always something that we cannot take off the table. We don't know the reason for there being so many different companies. Actually, gives me a little bit of hope because it's not just it's not just one company. You know, there are multiple companies, and hopefully, there will be more. You know, that are doing this, and I do think that it's not just going to be one that rules them all. I think that it is going to be a proliferation of all these different groups, and maybe this one specializes in this specific use case, and this is for this, and this is for that.
Interesting.
Yeah, at least in the nearer future, near meaning like by the end of the decade, if not sooner.
That's very near.
Oh, I know. I mean, when the original, I think, timeline for projected artificial general intelligence, mm-hmm. where it's a full conscious entity, I think Ray Kurzweil was like 2034, and now they're like, nah, like 2027. Everyone's like moving the date. Like after this last year, everyone was kind of like, well, let me tell you, we're seeing something new. Like,
did anything else when you went to the near future? Because I have so many interesting people there presenting and just interesting people attending. Was there anything else that jumped out at you that caught your attention?
There's so much. I'm not sure, like, because some of them were like new. Announcements. I'm not sure how much you're allowed to speak about.
No,
one of them
that is
public is, we can talk to animals. Just want to say that out there. Like, hello, everybody. Like, I feel like we should like say that very loud and proud. We can now speak with animals. They figured out a way to decode animal communication. And there's these incredible videos. It's actually Tristan Harris, the guy who did the Social Dilemma. Mm-hmm. So he and his co-founder spoke at this event. And some of these videos, I mean, there was one where I think it was a humpback whale, maybe a gray whale. Anyway, they figured out that they have names, and names meaning like it's a frequency when they communicate, it makes these noises that I'm not even going to try and replicate. And they were able to find his name, and it was the little speaker on the boat that they had in the whale language was saying, like, I think they named it something like Titus. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, the little speaker was like, I'm Titus. And then the whale would reply and be like, no, I'm Titus. And it was like, the speaker's like, I'm Titus. And the whale's like, no, I'm Titus. And the whale attacked the boat.
Really?
He was pissed. He's never heard somebody being like, I'm you. I'm you. And he's like, what is going on?
Really?
Yeah.
What other examples? Did they have any other animals that they were?
Baboons, dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And what does that look like in an animal interaction? Like because they can't possibly understand, the people can't decipher what the animal's saying.
No, it's the AI and the machine learning gives them the ability to translate all this, because it's so many, with such a wide range of frequencies.
Yes.
It's such a large data set that's what the AI is making this capable of, is now being able to decipher it and reproduce it and then communicate.
You mean to understand like certain pitches and tones mean certain things?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like,
it makes me think that Tristan Harris is like, yeah, we're so nutty that I want to start talking to the animals.
Maybe,
they'll be the last sane beings on the planet.
Maybe.
He's like, you know what? I know where we're going to go.
We got to talk to the animals.
We got to talk to the dolphins.
Yeah, but that's cool. Like, there was another guy who was like using like, he trained a whole AI machine learning algorithm on like ancient Peruvian Native American traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like based on all their wisdom. And it was like, he said something about, I think he asked it about colonizing Mars.
Yeah.
And the thing said, have you asked Mars permission?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it's like,
do you know something we don't know?
Well, no, but it was just such a different reframe because like when you train it, it's all about the data sets we're training these things on.
Sure.
You train it on the internet and Reddit. It's like, that's not going to be a question that you get from Reddit, but like when you train it on ancestral wisdom, that's like, like, you want to go to the moon? Have you asked the moon?
Yeah.
If that's okay.
See, that to me is interesting because think about what I appreciate about so many indigenous tribes is all decisions were made for seven generations, mm-hmm. or like give or take. And which, so it's like, well, how will this impact us in seven generations? Which I think is the big picture thinking.
Yeah.
And we are very much short term, you know, now immediately thinking.
Yes.
So that would be an interesting thing to layer back into places that we seek wisdom.
Yes. And this goes back to the Katie conversation.
You're very hopeful. I like it. I look at your face and I'm like, look at this guy. He's very hopeful.
But it's good. That's the Katie conversation. It's the wisdom. It's like giving us access to that kind of wisdom that you would never have access to potentially, you know?
Yeah.
And making that, because the internet was this explosion of universal accessible information everywhere. Just information on demand. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be like universally accessible intelligence on demand. And we don't have a framework for what that means.
I'm just going to be curious if we want to use it. There's going to be a few people. It'll just be interesting. People will be like,
I think you're going to want to use it.
Really?
Yeah, that's my
question. I will want to use it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can just see people doing some...
Oh, don't count that out. There's going to be people. Listen. I think Mo Gadot had like three like definites that we're going to have. Let me see if I can remember this. But he was like, AI is here. It's going to change everything and bad things will happen. Like, it's like, just be clear.
Just so we're clear.
Yeah, just be clear. Like, yeah, he's not saying like great things might not happen too. But like all of those three, those were his like, I think his three certainties. It's something like that. Yeah.
So you and I talk a lot about community. I think Laird and I, for whatever reason, maybe it's because we grew up on islands, have a built-in kind of drive for, and it's not even like, it doesn't feel conscious. It feels like just how we live, which is sort of interesting. I'm at a place now as I'm, you know, at this time in my life where I always feel like if I have to claim it, or I have to make it, other than like, hey, I should stretch more and I'm going to go to bed earlier. But if it becomes a thing like, I'm going to do this, like these big declarations, that's too hard. I feel like everything is so small and subtle. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, I do that now. And I think both of us have intuitively always been interested in community. I mean, him being in the ocean, there's a sense of community and certainly coming from team sports. Has that. And, you know, we have always a lot of people coming and going, but I feel like that feels very important to you right now, because that's the only other thing about technology, like even swiping and all of that for dating. And I don't know, it's okay. You could go to a new restaurant or bar. And if you didn't have cell phones, you maybe went with your friends, but you also were open that maybe you were going to meet other people. And I feel like with phones, it's all very like, not scheduled, but like, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And this is who we're doing it with, or this is who I'm meeting. And it's left out some of that kind of organic
room for synchronicity.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I think in some ways it has, and in some ways it has allowed more synchronicities. I mean, just the fact that we can be connected to so many different people and you're like, wait, you know this person, this and this and this.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I just think it goes both ways. But but I get it. I mean, that is a reality as well. That like if you're staring at your phone, what Laird calls it, facing the block.
Yeah.
You know, if you're staring at your phone, you're missing every other thing that's happening.
I always laugh when I go to New York City now.
Oh my God.
Because New York City has a lot of beautiful women, like cities do.
Yeah.
But I mean, for whatever reason, like it's pretty condensed.
Yeah.
And you can walk around. And I see guys all the time looking at phone. I'm like, you guys are idiots. Like near them in such close proximity. I'm not saying they're going to date them or it's like a thing. But it's sort of like missing.
Yeah.
You're like, there's so many things missing. I saw a kid the other day. I was in the grocery store yesterday. And I came around the corner and this baby, because it was facing the other way, the way they sit in the cart. Mm-hmm. And the mom had the back to me. And the baby was looking straight at me. And locked eyes. And what I love about a lot of babies is you better acknowledge them. They're not going to look away. And if they smile at you, they need you to smile back. And they'll wait.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at you and smiling. And I wouldn't have had that opportunity with this, you know, 14-month-old child to just for 5 seconds, you know, three little, you know, the little teeth on the bottom and like this kind of magic or just kind of these small spontaneous things that
I actually had that exact same happen 2 nights ago where there was a woman with a baby and like we just locked eyes and I was like, I'm not looking away.
Yeah.
And it went on for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And she was like, she's just transfixed with you and like was smiling. It was just like, I was like, if you want to look away, you're cool. But like, I am here with you.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
So I hope we see the beauty and the importance of that.
Yeah.
Because I think that stuff, I can appreciate we're going to be smarter. We're going to be more productive. And we're going to be more efficient. We'll I may not be more efficient. I know. Go ahead. I might be, you know.
We'll see. I mean, for all of us. Again, this is a big question.
No, but that it's still not going to feed our soul. Like the thing inside that only nature or being with one another.
Yes.
Or being with ourselves
for sure
can do.
Yes.
And I just hope that we stay in tune with that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll be some white-haired old lady just kind of going like, remember, you know. I don't know. But Katie would never say anything like that.
Never. No.
She would never tell anyone you should do this or that or make sure to do this or that. I mean, you know what I mean? It would just be like, what a fascinating, interesting thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you talk about like, you know, being with yourself, it's, you know, we've talked about the pyramid of like diet, exercise, sleep, you know, and like, that's like, well, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I think that pyramid sits on the foundation of community.
It does.
That's the
thing. Or it's four pillars.
I don't even think community is a fucking pillar. I think that is the foundation. Because if you don't have that right, I don't give a shit. Like,
so that takes effort, right?
Yeah.
Like, people are busy. And it's like, oh, what does that mean? I have to have a dinner party. I need to meet a friend in the park to take a walk. So what? When you say that, you know, you always are gung-ho to do anything. I can tell you from my point of view, because we sort of hold a lot of space to have that happen here. And maybe it's because we have to do it at our house because we can't get Lur to leave because he has to go to bed early. Or we do this a lot where it's like, okay, come over and train.
Yeah.
Because we actually don't want to go to a full dinner with you.
Yeah.
We love you, but we actually don't really want to hang out.
Yeah.
But we love you.
Yeah.
So come over, let's train together. We can like chit-chat a little and then, you know, whatever.
Totally.
So what I would say to people is try it out. Maybe even create small little traditions. So on Saturday, a group of people get together and we all go in the sauna together or we all go take this hike. And maybe if somebody has a work day or that they know is a little more open, okay, so Wednesdays at lunch, we do this. And what I would remind people is there's a lot of people like Jennifer, who I work with. I have a friend, Jennifer Meredith, and she's one of the founders of XPT. I've been friends with her for, I don't know, since 1993, probably. A long time. This is like my family. I never see Jen.
Yeah.
So we are very, very close. So what I want to say is community isn't always have to always be also with your closest friends. Mm-hmm. You could gather with people that fundamentally, you know, you respect each other. And there's love and affection, and you could call them if something was going on. But to do things together, to encourage each other, to put yourselves in environments that enhance each other's lives.
Absolutely.
I think that, so if anyone's listening, it's like, well, how do I start? It's like, well, just invite them to go do something that's mutually beneficial for both of you.
That's, I think, a great way to start. And even before that, it's like identifying your internal servo mechanism. Where you, when you just know, when you like be very rigorous about your values and when you resonate with someone and when you do go, like, that's just like, that does not happen that often.
You do that very well.
But I prioritize that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, whether that's just people in my life or that's, you know, romantic partner, whatever it is, it's just like, when you see that in someone else, it's just like, oh, not fucking around.
Yeah.
Like, because that does not happen.
So it's like, hey, do you want to get together?
Whatever.
Here's my number.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Just be really clear. And I think that can actually only come from being like clear with yourself in terms of what you want, what you feel. But like when you feel that resonance and you see someone else that like, you're like, oh yeah, like there's a reason.
Don't let them go.
Don't fuck around.
Yeah.
And whatever that looks like, it doesn't, you know, however that evolves, but it's so precious, but it's like the essence of all things. It's just that human connection. Don't fuck around with that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's interesting as a female, like I'm in a way, I have a lot of nice female friends, but also I'm also pretty a loner. And it's funny because my daughters finally are picking up on it. They're like, because I seem highly social, but in also another way, I'm very much a loner. And I appreciate what you're saying because, you know, I have a friend who was saying that there's this older woman. They were, she was trying to set her up with this other person to person, and the older lady said, "I don't need any new friends." Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to do what you're saying, which is, you get a sense that there's something special about somebody. Just don't let that just go by you.
Yeah, no, there's a reason.
Yeah, it's so important. Yeah. You know, this interesting thing about tribe, the original idea for tribe was really for survival.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves. Yeah,
for sure.
It was, hey, we got to all live together and cooperate. Cooperation is the core sort of driving force for survival and evolution.
Oh, yeah. That's how we took over the planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Cooperation.
Yeah.
And so I like the idea because I think playing on a volleyball team, believe me, I had plenty of teammates that didn't like me. And I'm sure I wasn't always aligned with every single feeling, thought, and belief that they had, or the way they lived, or the way they dressed, or who they dated. It's like, hey, in these areas, can we come together and help each other? And then, like, let's not worry about it. And the thing I'm seeing is that there's these beliefs that there's only two things happening. There's an oppressor and a victim, and a victim and an oppressor. And I don't think that's the case. There's so much nuance or so many things that we don't understand, but there's so much nuance and nobody, it's just either it's good, it's bad, it's right, it's wrong. If you don't agree with me 100%, you're out. So I guess for me, I always, and at least if I were going to encourage my children, it's like having a very intimate tribe. And this tribe actually keeps you on your toes. They know, they sort of have a sense of maybe who you're trying to be. And so if you step and do something weird, your tribe might say, you know, what's the thinking behind that? Mm-hmm. Your tribe is there to console you if you're going through a challenging time, to celebrate your victories, to encourage you during your challenges. But certainly, I don't want anyone in my tribe. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Laird. Don't tell me what I have to think, feel, and believe. And so I guess we've taken this word tribe. So why don't we have enough meaning, personal meaning, that we are willing to just kind of farm it out and be like, okay, I'm with those guys 100%. I think it would be more like we all becoming these sort of full, whole individuals that then can easily slip into, when needed, wherever they are. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, we're always going to have our intimate circle. That's different. But this thing that we have because of technology, because of this sort of big reach,
totally,
we're lining up with people that it's like, come on.
Yeah.
We don't have any, like, why? It's not necessary.
When you get the dopamine hits from all the likes and the retweets, and so it makes you want to do it again. It was like that philosopher that we talked about that, you know, decided that it was like he was a deep thinker and spent all day thinking and ended up writing a tweet that went viral. And he was like, noticed that his thought process changed to 140 characters and try and condense his thinking as opposed to these long drawn out thoughts of what the universe and pondering and life could be. Just how do I condense it into something that could go viral, you know? And that's a brilliant philosopher.
Right.
So it's just like the average human, just like, yeah, I want the retweets. I want the validation from the tribe. I want the,
but do we not know that it's unsustainable? Do we not know that that dopamine, that quick hit, it's like, I guess maybe that would be my hope with technology, is that somehow we're finding the way to bake into the message that we still have to do things that take work and they're slow and the return is not immediate, but they elevate us and support us in a way that nothing else can. And so maybe in talking about all of this with the technology, that is a real hope of mine, is somewhere in there that we don't get so far away from the stuff that has everlasting impact on us.
Yeah. I mean, but also to answer the question that you said at the beginning right there, do we not see the long-term? No, we don't. We just care about the dopamine hit. Like,
yeah,
that's your limbic system being like,
yeah,
give it to me. Give me the you know, the sex, the thing, the drug, the whatever.
Yeah.
Just like, that's there. That's running.
It's interesting.
Like, yeah. It's actually an interesting analogy with AI, because when you think of it being this omnipotent, billion times smarter than we can ever comprehend intelligence, and then you're like, well, why would it even deal with us? Our cortex is a billion times smarter than our limbic system, but the cortex is still in service of the limbic system, because the limbic system's like, sex, we've got to, like, not even to procreate. It's like, I want that. And like, the amount of time that the cortex like humors the limbic system thinking about sex to do its thing, it's like, to me, I was like, that's actually interesting. Maybe this huge, powerful intelligence would be like, yeah, we're going to suffer and put up with you guys. Like, yeah, whatever you want to do. Like, at least there's an example of that in nature where that does happen.
Yeah,
who knows?
Okay, so I'll stay hopeful. Is there anything else you want to encourage people or invite them to do this week?
I don't even know if stay hopeful is the right thing. It's stay informed, stay aware. Just keep looking, because there's all kinds of other crazy shit, and they're trying to pass legislation, and you know, the surveillance that they're going to do is just out of control, beyond imagination. It's not stay hopeful. It's just be aware. Don't bury your head in the sand. Like, this is, you know, again, we talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Superman has landed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that enough. It's so perfect. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like, oh, wow, cool, Superman has landed. Like, I'm going to watch from afar. No, we all have not only a responsibility, but the potential for an impact to just in the slightest direction help nudge it in a positive way. And if that can even be heard by whoever, like, just, I'm just going to keep saying that.
Okay.
It's like, just pay attention.
These conversations will always involve technology, because you are my portal to that part of the world. And then hopefully, you know, how that ties back to us as people. You do take very good care of yourself, and you're highly informed. I'm just going to have to ask, is there any supplement or anything that you're doing right now that you've been getting amazing results from? I sort of have incorporated the ketone IQ.
Yep.
After I interviewed Lot, like, you know, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
And I really like it, because it's not impacting my sleep, but I do feel like I can have a little more horsepower in my brain.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about you, if anything that you are taking right now or you've cycled in is working or you're liking.
I started doing NAD shots.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Again, I'd done it before, but I've kind of gotten back to it, and I really appreciate it.
What do you feel?
There's definitely just this energetical uplift of just, you're
like, the system's more buoyant.
Absolutely. You are just even more aware and present.
Is it hard to get?
I don't think so. I mean, you can find a, you know, reputable.
Yeah. And you give the shot to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Just using like an insulin syringe. And it's not like the full NAD IV where you're like
there for 2 hours.
And your guts are twisting and stuff. Just like the shot of just like, oh, yeah.
You know. Do you do it like, how does it work? How do you use it? Like, is it for a few days in a row or?
Yeah, it's kind of maybe 3 days a week or something.
Okay.
It's not every day.
Okay.
And if you take trimethylglyceride with it, you won't get some crazy flush. Some people have a reaction to it where you can get this kind of flush.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so if you take the TMG before, you won't get a flush.
Okay. Yeah, especially people that like party and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
they
get
their ass by NAD.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
They get nauseous and don't feel good.
Yeah.
And pressure. It feels like pressure and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that can definitely help with that. But also, if you're depleting your NAD levels to that extent, you probably do want to figure out a way to boost them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Elijah Allen Blitz. Till next time. Thank you.
Thank you. It's all an experiment.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you want to learn more, there is a ton of valuable information on my website. All you have to do is go to GabrielleReese.com or head to the episode show notes to find a full breakdown with helpful links to studies, research, books, podcasts, and so much more. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out and send them to @GabbyReese on Instagram. And if you feel inspired, please subscribe. I'll see you next week.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.